I'm going to begin the service today by drawing your attention to this picture, which should also be on the screens. Taking a look at this, it's been sitting up here quite a while. Some of you who are able to be multifaceted in your attention span have been looking at that picture and wondering, what is that all about? Why is that up there? Taking a look at that picture of all the blue fish headed in one direction and a red fish headed in another direction. Taking a look at that, I wonder, what do you think that means? What does that, we're going to pretend we are in fourth grade art class and we are visiting the art museum. And so we are getting our impression of artwork. What does this impress you with? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. There's always an odd one in the bunch. Somebody else, what does this mean to you? Yes, Tim. Okay, I heard bluefish going the way of the world. And the red fish is a Christian going against the world. Somebody else, what's your interpretation? Yes, ma'am? Going the wrong way on a one-way street. All right? Anybody else? Well, why is it that if you do make a wrong turn onto a one-way street going the wrong way, that instead of pulling over, we accelerate? Why do we do that? Try to get to the next block as quick as possible, increasing the likelihood of more damage when we hit somebody going the wrong way. Somebody else, what's this mean to you? What's this picture mean? Anyone want to add? Yes, sir. All right. It's difficult to go against the crowd. Going once, going twice. Well, here's what I will offer today from this, and if you'll notice, you can see the original print up here. There's no title on it. It hangs in my office that we use for meetings and such, teaching Bible studies. There's no title on it. I've had numerous people say, what does that picture mean? And I usually respond, what do you think it means? There's no title on it. It's left for interpretation. For today, I'm offering this picture to illustrate the life of a disciple, and here's why. Matthew chapter 7, and looking at verses 13 and 14. You know what I'm going to recommend today? That you take notes, whether that's pen and paper or whether that's in digital style. My wife was taking notes recently on her phone. And someone sent her a text message and said, why are you texting during this session? And my wife replied, I'm not texting, I'm taking notes. So I will believe in faith that that's what's going on across this auditorium today. That we are not texting, we are not updating statuses, we are taking notes. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, the Bible says this, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. If you haven't learned it yet, I will reveal it clearly today from Jesus' words in Scripture. Discipleship, following Jesus, is life in the minority. In biblical terms, humans are either disciples or they aren't. Humans are either going to heaven or they're not. In light of our picture with all the blue fish in one direction and one red fish in the other direction, humans are either blue fish or red fish. You're in the majority or the minority. You're going with the flow or against the flow. And I would remind us today, it's easy to get caught up in that majority flow. And it is, as has already been mentioned, it's difficult to go against the flow and pursue the kingdom of God. Blue or red. Now, aware of this, the Apostle Paul gave some absolutes to the Thessalonians. We've been preaching through 1 Thessalonians 5, and today we'll conclude that series looking at verse number 19 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul wrote this, "Do not quench the Spirit." Verse 20, "Do not despise prophecies." Verse 21, "Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." In the Message Bible, which is one man's interpretation of a passage, it says this, "Don't suppress the Spirit and don't stifle those who have a word from the Master." He goes on to write this, "On the other hand, don't be gullible. Check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything tainted with evil." Don't be gullible. Don't be easily persuaded. Don't be naive. Don't be easily deceived. When I was in my early teens, I went to a summer camp for teens, like 13 to 19 or 20, something like that, as a summer camp. And I was on the early edge of that. I might not even have been 13, but 13 at the oldest. I was the young end of the vast wealth of teenagers at a summer camp. And I wanted to flow with the majority. Anybody ever remember those teen challenges? Yeah. One evening during that camp, there was a lot of people hanging around in the dining area. And a group of older guys that I desperately wanted to be part of. They said to me, "Look at that guy over there in the corner." And this guy had to be 20 or 25 or 30. He was huge. The guy was a monster. And around him in that corner was every brand of the hip and cool and teen of male and female of the in crowd circling him. He was in the corner of the room. The group I was with, some older guys said, "Hey, you need to go over to that guy in the corner and you need to ask him how his mom plays the organ." And I remember thinking, that is a weird question. And I will tell you, I hesitated. I kind of balked at that. But you know how the pressure of peers among teens can work on us. And they started laying it on. They started putting it on me. And I desperately wanted to be in the majority. I felt like that red fish, and I wanted to be one of the blue fish. And so I made my way over into that corner. And I pushed my way through the crowd to that giant of a camper in the corner. And he saw my scrawny little person. And I asked him, "How does your mom play the organ?" And when I said that, that guy exploded up out of that corner and showed me his large S. And he hollered out, "My mom ain't got no hands." If a 13-year-old can have a heart attack, I'd have had one right there. I thought my life was over, embarrassed. And then after the pause, feeling that death was at hand, everyone began laughing. Yes, his mom had hands. She was a renowned organist. I didn't know that was her son. But I wanted to be part of the blue crowd. Are you with me? I was gullible. I was naive. I was easily deceived. They played me really well. The Apostle Paul taught us this. Don't be gullible. Test all things. The red fish, if you will. Check out everything. It's not a life of suspicion. I'm not preaching today that we should be suspicious people. However, it is a life of wisdom. It is a life that is thoughtful. It is a life that is careful. In fact, explaining his method of diplomacy, it was President Ronald Reagan who once said, "Trust, but verify. Trust, but verify." Red fish are careful. Everyone say, red fish are careful. Right now, everyone is receiving a little token of this message today to spark our memories beyond this service. Red fish are careful. Red fish are careful. This is our final message from Ephesians 5 and absolutes. Test all things. Test all things. Thank you, guest services, for the great job you do. Everybody give them a hand. Appreciate those folks. Amen. Test all things. Absolute testing. If there were a subtitle to this message today, it would be this: how do I swim as a redfish? How can I swim as a redfish? I would tell you the first test among the redfish is the character test. A test has to do with the source of the information. To swim as a redfish, my first test to remain a redfish and to swim with the redfish is the test of character. Who am I allowing to influence me? And this test comes from Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 7, just a couple verses, or the next verses after what we already read, Jesus said, after he talked about broad and narrow ways, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves." Listen, folks. False prophets don't wear name tags establishing themselves as false prophets. In fact, they do their best to remove any evidence of their falsehood. They're deceiving. They come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. The Bible goes on, as Jesus goes on to say, however, you can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? He elaborates that for a couple of verses. And then in verse 20, Jesus said this: yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. According to Jesus, words must be supported by actions. Actions prove the words. But here's the funny thing. Human beings seem to be easily steered just by words, even when they're false words. There is something about humanity. We have a tendency just to go with the words and not do the extra work of validating the actions. I wonder this afternoon how many are aware of the term fake news. Fake news. According to Wikipedia, fake news is a type of yellow journalism or propaganda that consists of deliberate misinformation or hoaxes that are spread in traditional print, broadcast news, or online social media. Fake news is written and published with the intent to mislead in order to damage. Here's the thing, folks. Fake news wouldn't be an issue if we didn't like to believe it. 3 centuries ago, a preacher and an author by the name of Jonathan Swift wrote this: falsehood flies, and truth comes limping along after it. According to a first-of-its-kind study that was published earlier this year in March by the revered Massachusetts Institute of Technology. That phrase could describe social media today. MIT did a long study with scientists and PhD students, and they studied 126,000 Twitter stories that were tweeted by 3 million users over a 10-year span from the time Twitter began. And that study found that truth cannot compete with rumors and hoaxes. The study found that by every common measurement, falsehood consistently dominates the truth on Twitter. Fake news, false rumors reach more people, and they penetrate farther into the social network, and they spread much faster than accurate stories. One of the scientists working on the study said this: "It seems pretty clear that false information outperforms true information, and that's not just because of web robots, but it might have something to do with human nature." There is something about humanity that we like the rumor more than we like the truth. A false story on Twitter reaches 1,500 people 6 times faster than a true story does. Falsehoods are 70% more likely to get retweeted rather than accurate news. Humans seem to be easily steered by false words and false prophets. And Jesus recognized that long before Twitter ever existed. Jesus recognized and said, "Don't just listen. Test a person's character. Identify people by their actions, not merely their words." Why did Jesus say that? Because liars and deceivers and wolves in sheep's clothing are only able to succeed when people are lazy, when people won't pay attention, when people are gullible. Fake news only works because we won't find the source. Here's the thing I remind us today. We can't verify the actions of everyone that's posting tweets. In fact, we can't verify the actions. Jesus said, "Don't just hear the words, validate by actions." We can't validate the actions of everyone posting on blogs. We can't validate the actions of everyone spamming Facebook. We can't validate the actions of everyone preaching over the internet or over television or on the airways. Will you listen to me just for a moment? Media, whatever the media, it distances the word from the author. It separates the word from the author. While there are huge benefits to media, today I preach a cautionary tale about any form of media when it distances the words from the author. There are false prophets, there are liars and deceivers that are blanketing themselves in that distance being removed. They can say whatever they feel like saying because nobody's watching their life. Nobody's seeing their action. Nobody is validating and verifying. As Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits." Just listen to me this afternoon as a concerned preacher, as somebody who welcomes you validating my life. Watch me. Listen to me. Hear me. Take notes on the way I live. There's comfort in my ministry and that accountability. And there is comfort in your pursuit of truth by following actions by a real live person that you see and hear on a regular basis. I'm here to warn just for a moment here this afternoon. If you and I start forming our beliefs and forming our convictions and living our lives primarily from things that we glean from media, from somebody where I don't know the author and I don't know the source and I can't validate their lives and their actions. Listen here, we are being foolish because we make ourselves vulnerable to lies and deception. I'm here just to stir the pot a little bit this afternoon and say this. Redfish are smarter than that. Redfish know better than that. Redfish know I'm going to look past the words and into the actions. Redfish aren't deceived only by words. Redfish trust actions. You see, if I'm going to swim like a redfish, then I use the character test provided by Christ Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, he's pretty sweaty, but that's good stuff. When we're testing all things, like Paul said, the first test is the character test. Who is the source of the teaching? Who am I allowing to influence me? Test all things. For more tests that we can use, we turn again to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Notice that's an action word. Because you are his dear children. Live a life. It doesn't say speak words filled with love. It says live a life. Actions. Live a life filled with love. Following the example of Christ. It's more than the words of Christ. We follow his actions, his example. He loved us, offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. Do, live, follow. Those are actions. And then Paul gives some specific things that ought not be going on. Let there be no sexual immorality. Now listen, I know that goes way against the Bluefish movement. But in the kingdom of God, not all sex is moral. I don't have time to go into that Bible study, but there it is. Impurity, there shouldn't be there. Greed shouldn't be there. Sometimes we North American Christians that are caught up in owning and buying and gaining everything we can, we love to point our fingers at the immoral while we wade in our baths of greed. I didn't think there'd be any aisle running on that one. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. You know, it doesn't say whether I'm telling those or whether I'm hearing those. Just a thought. Instead, there should be thankfulness to God. You can be sure in verse 5, no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater worshiping the things of this world. Verse 6, don't be fooled. Listen, who's doing the fooling? Those who try to excuse these sins. For the anger of God will fall on all those who disobey him. In verse 7, don't participate in the things these people do. I would ask, why not? Verse number 8, he explains. Once you were full of darkness, but now. Turn to somebody beside you and say, we changed. Turn to somebody on the other side. Said, we've changed. But now you have light from the Lord, so live as people of light. This light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Things are different once we start following Christ Jesus. Red fish are different now. Repentance says, I'm changing direction. I'm not going the same way as the rest of the fish on their way to destruction. Repentance says, I am turned in a different direction. And then we go on for the baptism of the baptism in Jesus' name. We're cleansed of all our errors and faults. You know how? By the red blood of Jesus Christ. That's how we are cleansed of all of our sins. When Jesus Christ looks at us now, he doesn't see me as a blue fish headed for destruction. Instead, he sees his blood all over those red fish. Then filled with the Spirit of God, God's actual power within us. There's more on that later, but that's where I get my power to swim against the stream. We're different now. Hold up those Swedish fish. Will you hold those things up? We're now red instead of blue. We are red instead of blue. That being the case, look at verse number 10. Here's what Paul says. You're different now. So here's what ought to happen. You're different now. Verse 10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Carefully. Boy, you better listen. Carefully comes up an awful lot in these passages. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Don't be duped by fake news. Look at verse 15. We jump down a few verses. Look what it says. So be careful. There it is again. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. You know what? When we want to swim like red fish, Paul says, pay attention. Be careful how you live. Watch your step. Use your head. God gave us all brains. Thank the Lord for that. He intends for them to be used. Or as Paul said to the Thessalonians, test all things. Other than the character test, now Paul reveals some further tests. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians 5. Here's what he says. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. This is the Holy Scripture test. Character test asked who is teaching. The Holy Scripture test has to do with knowledge and understanding and what I know up here. The Holy Scripture test. Christians need to test what they hear and what they read by comparing it to the Word of God. You hear a tweet or read a tweet coming over social media, we might go to factcheck.org or Snopes.com, but when it comes to swimming like a red fish, we compare human words to the words of God. We compare human ideas to the Word of God. We apply the Holy Scripture test. In Acts chapter 17, we get an incredible example of this happening. Acts 17, 10 through 12. Write it down in your notes. Bible says that very night, the believers sent Paul and Silas to Berea. And when they arrived there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. In verse 11, the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They listened. Paul and Silas rolled into town. People didn't know who they were. Paul and Silas roll into town. They start teaching. People in Berea said, yeah, this is good stuff. They're listening. But then look what happens. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. You see, and as it says in verse 12, many of them then believed, even prominent people among the Greek men and women. That's an awesome example. I want you to notice, even the apostle Paul comes into town and starts teaching. People say, I don't know him. I don't know his actions. I can't perform the character test that Jesus said. But what I can do is look into the Holy Scriptures and I can apply the Holy Scripture test. And that's what the Bereans did. In fact, listen to me. They never believed Paul and Silas until they could verify it in the Holy Word of God. Man, but he's a great speaker. Man, but they're great evangelists. Man, they've been impressing people. Doesn't matter. Is what they're saying founded in the Holy Writ? Can I find it in this precious book? Regardless of talent, regardless of exposure, regardless of media, is it in the book? Red fish don't believe human ideas until they've passed the Holy Scripture test. That's why Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, don't be thoughtless. In other words, you better be thoughtful. Get your head in the game. And then he follows up with the next verse. It says, don't be drunk with wine. That'll ruin your life. Now, at first glance, we might think, what does that have to do with any of this other stuff that he is talking about? But Paul knew this. If I've got to keep my brain in the game, if I've got to be thoughtful to be a redfish, if I've got to think about character tests, and I've got to think about what does the Bible say, then Paul knew this. Drunkenness messes with my thinking. Paul said, if you're going to live successfully, then you can't be getting drunk. Listen, I'm just going to be very clear. When I ingest chemicals that manipulate my ability for clear-headed thinking, then I am hindering my ability to live wisely. It's not a measure of is it legal or is it illegal. It's not a measure of will it damage me forever or is it harmless. The measure is it messing with my mind and my ability to think clearly and thoughtfully about the things of God? It's easier to believe fake news when my mind isn't working at its best. Instead, redfish are thoughtful and they apply the Holy Scripture test. You know what? That's why we're constantly doing things to put the Word into our minds. That's why we're constantly reading the Word of God. That's why this preacher regularly is saying, are you reading the Word every day? And if I don't like to read, then do I have it on audio every day? Because I want this Word in my mind. I want to review Scripture. I want to renew Scripture. I want to refresh Scripture in my life. Why do I do that? Because then the Scripture test is easier. It confounds me. People who claim Christianity but want no part of any kind of organized Bible study. Ridiculous. Because it's the Holy Scripture test helps me separate human from divine. After condemning drunkenness, look at verse 18. Here's what Paul says. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, preacher, I just need to get my mind off of things, and I've become dependent on this, that, and such. Paul saw your argument and excuse coming down the pike, and he said, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Listen, testing all things has to involve the Holy Spirit. I want us to understand, when it comes to falsehood and human lies and deception, the Holy Spirit has got to be involved in truth. Here's why. Look at 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. He writes this: Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. False ideas and false teachings are associated with false spirits. Red fish living, hear me today, is not entirely a mental choice. It's not entirely a Bible thing. Red fish living involves Holy Spirit direction and a Holy Spirit test. You got to validate whether or not this is of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, we can only do that by the Spirit. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Hear me, spiritual things aren't understood by ordinary natural abilities and methods. We must have the Spirit working and dwelling and leading each and every one of us. There are some things I'm just not going to get in my natural thinking and spirit. I have to have the Holy Spirit to understand and to know and to direct my life. It's by the Holy Spirit that I'm able to live and swim like a redfish. We fan those things into flames. It says in 2 Timothy 1, red fish rely on the Holy Spirit. Listen to me this afternoon. New beliefs, new ideas, new teachings, new doctrines float into our ears and float into our understanding. It better be, if I'm going to live the life of a red fish, that I take that understanding and I take that belief and I bring it to a red hot Holy Spirit prayer meeting, that I bring it to on my knees and say, in the Spirit and presence of Almighty God, can this stand up to the Holy Spirit? Because if it's evil, it won't stay in a holy place. If it's errant, it can't dwell in a holy place. There is power in the Holy Spirit. Well, preacher, I heard something. Well, preacher, I read something. Well, preacher, I saw a post. Hear me today, we all do. But what redfish do is we take what we hear and we take what we read and we test it in sincere prayer.